Now, your book...
Well, it's Fighting for the Empire. It's a life and times biography, actually, of my wife's maternal grandfather, who... he didn't marry until he was 50, so his children were not born until the 1920s. So, actually, he's almost of a generation that would be most people of our age, the great-grandfather, but he's actually... So, he's born in 1870. He was an Irish Catholic born in Galway. Very clever man. Qualified as a doctor at the age of 20, which in those days, I think it might still be the case now, was actually too young to sign a death certificate.
Yes.
You have to be 21 to sign a death certificate. So, that shows you how clever he was. By the time he qualified, most of his family, like a lot of these Irish families, had emigrated. They dispersed. So he left Ireland. He joined the Indian Medical Service and spent 30 years as a doctor in the Indian Medical Service. And frankly, lived a life of adventure. He was on the Young Husband expedition to Tibet as a medical officer, was mentioned in dispatches there, fought the plague in Persia. He went through the desert wars in the First World War, won the DSO, and he retired when he was in his mid-50s. He'd done his 30 years service, retired to Jersey because he couldn't go back to Galway. In the mid-1920s, in the aftermath of the Irish Civil War, someone who was by that time a colonel in the British Army could not go back to Galway. So he settled with his family, his wife. He met a nurse from Essex, came from Dedham. He met her at the hospital that he was commanding in Nazaria, and they married in Bombay in 1918. Had two daughters, both of whom were born in India. My mother-in-law is 99 and still alive. She was born in Rawalpindi, which of course is now Pakistan, and she lives in the beaches.
Yes.
Here in Brentwood. But they moved to Jersey. He was a restless man, and he couldn't... He wasn't going to retire. Mm. So he became a part-time ship surgeon. And in the run-up to the Second World War, he was 70 when... Just coming up to 70 when the Second World War broke out. He actually volunteered for the Royal Navy. He'd been forging his age on the crew list in the run-up to the outbreak of the war. The crew list, he had to sign his name next to the entry, and his signature is immediately next to his age, and on three successive voyages it was going down.
We're all doing that.
Yes.
Because he foresaw war coming, but some of the ships he was on in 1937 and 38 were carrying wealthy German refugees to South America. So refugees. So he knew that he knew what was going on, and he was convinced the war was coming. So he wanted to be in the Royal Navy. They found out his age. The British Medical Association shopped him, and he resigned from the BMA in a fit of pique. But the Merchant Navy snapped him up, and he spent the whole of the Second World War at sea on troop ships, Atlantic convoys, and came back in latter part of 1944. Having been effectively demobilised, bitterly complaining he was still fit to serve.
Yeah.
So that was his story, and it's fantastic. And it is just one adventure after another, and pulling all of that together and filling in the vast gaps, because he didn't marry until he was 50.
Mm.
So actually there were 50 years of his life that he hadn't shared with the family. As I said, his Irish family had dispersed. He was the youngest of 11 children anyway. All of the rest of the family were very old and long gone. So there were vast gaps.
Yeah.
And researching and filling in those gaps was a huge challenge. But fantastically rewarding.
Now, we've just got enough time to just go through your new book, which you said you're in the process of writing. So can you give us a little hint on what it's about?
Well, it's a spin-off from that, because one of the things he was involved in is in June 1940, he was on a ship that was sent into Bordeaux to pick up refugees and troops that were still being evacuated. Like most people, I always thought Dunkirk... Early June the 4th, 1940, finished. brought back 338,000 troops, and I thought, I tend to think that was the end of our involvement in France. Much to my surprise, when I started researching what this ship was doing in Bordeaux in the middle of June, I found that, in fact, after Dunkirk, we brought back around about another 220,000 people. About 195,000 were troops, but 25,000 were civilians. And it's largely an untold story. Yeah. And I thought that that was a story that needed to be told. And it's been fantastic researching it, because so many people have come to me with relative stories saying, oh, you know, my great grandfather, my grandfather, my uncle came back through Brest in general. I never understood why. So I'd say, well, you tell me what you know, and I'll try and fill in the rest of the gaps, and then we'll put it in the book and we'll share it with people. And that's making progress now. We're about halfway through writing it.
That's brilliant. And it is the thing, when you're right, you've got to research, as well as Sylvia always says, it is a lot of research, especially when you're doing the type of books that you both do. That sounds fascinating. In fact, having somebody like that in the family as well, that's amazing.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. I mean, he lived a life of adventure. I mean, one of the things I say in the intro there is almost every British and Irish family will have someone of that generation or around about that sort of thing who would have had one of those adventures. Mm. You know, they'd have served in the First World War. They might have been in the British Army, serving in some far-flung corner of the Empire, been through the Second World War. He did the lot. Mm. It was just one chapter
amazing
after another.
It sounds like a film. Script.
Yes. Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Book today, film tomorrow.
I live in hope. I have spoken to a couple of production companies who've taken an interest in it, but these things are slow burners.
Yes.
I'm sure you know that, Sylvia.
I certainly do.
From many of the contacts you've had.
Yes.
They
sometimes you
come
think
along
this
and talk to you and
has no legs, and then bang, you get the call, which is wonderful, isn't it? Not so much for me, but for my colleagues.
Oh, and everybody else. And for yourself, Sylvia. Right, we're just coming up to the news. Thank you very much to David and to Sylvia.
Thank you.
All the details for the books we've talked about today will be up on the website with links, and also links to David's website as well. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Great to see you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too.
I'll be back after the news.
Thank you.
Thank you.